you know, when you're building a business,
right,
you tend to work later.
Yeah.
I get hungry, Michelle.
That's the truth.
Yeah. The thing is that I don't let myself have all that bad stuff. House.
Yeah.
So you change your environment so you can change your lifestyle.
All right, so let's talk about nutrition for a minute, or probably not a minute, but what's important? What are people doing wrong? How has obviously our food has changed greatly over the past probably 20 years even? Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of changes, and our bodies probably haven't adapted to that. But tell me some of the things that you know and what people should know about just how we eat.
I think, look, the other time I have this program with this older guy, it's called Aging Strong.
Okay.
And he's like, well, nutrition is so hard. It's so, you know, complicated. I'm like, Andy, it's not complicated at all. It's easier than we think. You know, if you see a plate, vegetables, fruits, whole grains, high quality protein, mm-hmm. water, you know, lots of water because of hydration, and then good fats.
Yep.
That's it. If you can, between, like, your plate should be 70, 80% plant-based, you know, the vegetables, mm-hmm. the fruits, yep. the grains, the most likely the fats, and then 30 to 20% high quality protein. So what's happening with our soil, right? Mm. Our soil has pesticides, fungicide, mm-hmm. all of these chemicals, so they can produce mass production.
Yeah.
They need to take care of the animals and, you know, all that. So they put a lot of things in our soil. So the what we eat, the fruits and the vegetables, they don't have the same, they're not that nutrient, yeah. right? And humans, we absorb between 10% and 90% of the nutrients of the food. And it's very simple. Like, I eat something, you know, it starts the breakdown process. If I eat proteins, amino acids, they become amino acids in your body.
Okay.
Then amino acids with other amino acids, they come together. They make new proteins in our body that are the building blocks for your muscles, for repair and growth. Protein, very important. Then we have carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. They become glucose when they break down.
Yep.
Right? And glucose is the first source of energy that your body needs to do whatever, to be sitting right here talking with you, you know, about nutrition. So we need that to go to the supermarket, to, you know, talk to your kids, or, you know, to be able to put the Irish woman on a stage, whatever it is, you need glucose, right? So your body, when it needs energy, is like, okay, is there any glucose in here?
Yeah.
So it's very important. And then you have fats for, one of the things fat do, like, first, your brain is covered by fat. Mm-hmm. So good fats are important. And then hormonal balances are also important. So we need all this.
Yeah.
And then all this food, they have nutrients, like the minerals, like, I don't know, iron, potassium, magnesium, zinc, all of that. So what happens, our body starts, you know, the digesting process, it breaks down the food, it goes to our stomachs, and then it starts absorbing. So basically, it goes to your blood mainstream, all these minerals, the fiber and everything, and it goes inside your cell to the mitochondria, and the mitochondria produces ATP.
Yeah.
So is that simple?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So sometimes, because of microbiota is not good, because so many sugar, so much sugar, so much ultra-processed food, we don't have a good microbiota. So in the microbiota, is important for everything. It's called the second brain, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we need that for, you know, to be able to do so many things. And when that happens, when we don't give our microorganism the right kind of food, you know, we don't have all this nutrient. Mm-hmm. Maybe I want to eat more because our body is like, okay, this is hamburger every single day. I need more. That comes, obesity comes, diabetes or diabesity, how they call it right now.
Diabesity, so, I haven't heard that. Gosh.
Diabetes is the combination of diabetes and obesity. Yeah. And according to research, I think, you know, more than 60% are overweight.
Yeah.
And more than 30% obese. It's and it happens, and you said it, like food is different, but then we're eating all this ultra processed food mm-hmm. that are not real food.
Right.
Right. Or yeah. chemicals, and our body doesn't know how to deal with that. I don't know if you have you ever heard about the 25-year McDonald's hamburger?
No. What's okay. that? No.
You know how people are like they get this crazy idea. So yes. this guy 20, 30 years ago, he put a hamburger, McDonald's hamburger, and he put it in a box, and then he opened it 20 years later and it was almost intact.
Where did he have it?
Well, just Google it. McDonald's, like McDonald's hamburger, and it's still alive, the hamburger. What does that mean? It has so many preservatives, yeah. so many chemicals. It doesn't go bad.
Wow.
So what I recommend in nutrition, the plate that I mentioned to you mm-hmm. before, yep. and then eat things that they get spoiled if you leave them outside. Like if yep. I leave a strawberry, the microorganisms are going to start eating them, right? And we are microorganisms on the inside.
Right. So. We are. So it's that simple. That's what you're saying.
I mean, for me, it's that simple. yeah. Sometimes it's hard. Why? Because we have so many options. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I do, I don't let myself, when I go home, have that many options. So, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm working late because, you know, when you're building a business,
right.
you tend to work later.
Yeah.
I get hungry, Michelle. That's the truth.
Yeah.
And then every time, it's like I don't know what's in my pantry, but every time I go to my pantry, it's like walnuts. I mean, I could eat an egg, maybe some zucchini. Like and it's so boring, you know? But the thing is that I don't let myself have all that bad stuff in my house.
Yeah.
So you change your environment so you can change your lifestyle. So I'm not going to say, should I eat like vanilla ice cream or chocolate ice cream? Uh-huh. I don't have ice cream.
Right.
Again, I have yep. to, and sometimes I do banana pancakes
mm-hmm. yep.
With oats and banana. So yep. that's my sweet.
So what I do is, I also am limited in what I've got at home, yeah. right? So yeah, I'm hungry at
even
night.
With
it's
kids?
Very, yeah, my poor children, yeah.
Okay, good.
So yeah, I'm not a fast food person. Uh-huh. So unfortunately, they didn't, yeah. you know, it was very rare that they yeah. went to like Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they did a lot. I know they did a lot on their own. I never kept my children away from it because I know that it's like they say, you don't give them cake. The minute they're out, you mm-hmm. know, they're out of your sight, they're going to eat, you know, 10 cakes, mm-hmm. right? Because you don't have it. But as a rule, you know, we didn't have a lot of stuff like that mm-hmm. in the house. I was pretty boring for them, I think, no. you know, but I made sure I didn't deprive. So, yeah, we had the Oreos, you know, but I didn't. It just had to be measured out, mm-hmm. right? You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they would tell you they were deprived. They probably will tell you, yes, we had a boring pantry. But for me, I end up eating the same things, right? So I eat a lot of greens. I mm-hmm. do eat berries. I eat that for breakfast. Mm-hmm. I'll have salad with a couple of eggs that mm-hmm. I cook, you know, tossed on it or... but I've always kind of been like that, I think. I never really liked, I mean, when I was in college, I suppose, Burger King opened up, mm-hmm. right? So we did a little Burger King here and there.
That was a long time ago.
But it was a very long time ago, right? Yeah, there was a Burger King when that opened up down the street. It was a big deal. But anyway, so it's kind of like if we think about practical things mm-hmm. that people can do today, it would be around, I think, right? Would you tell them? You know, limit your sugar. Like, mm-hmm. look at,
yeah.
you know, drink sparkling water instead mm-hmm. of soda, right? Mm-hmm. Or soft drinks. Mm-hmm. What are some other things that people can do? I mean, they hear things, but on a practical basis, you know, me as a traveling person, traveling mm-hmm. woman, boy, we're on the road a lot. And I am able to pick and choose on the menus at mm-hmm. restaurants, but even so, you're like, oh my God, is that salmon and butter? Or like, how have they really prepared that? So
I think, you know, if you're at home, limit your options so yeah. you don't have to think about
limit
it.
Your options.
Oh, should I eat this? No, you don't have it. Right?
Yeah.
If you go out to a restaurant, I used to say, oh, do you want bread? No bread. But then I have my friends are like bread
yeah.
or chips. And I'm like,
yeah,
man, like it doesn't yeah. work that way. But anyway, like if I go to a restaurant, I usually share.
Yeah.
You know, like I try not to eat that much. And, yeah, limit sugar, you know. Mm-hmm. Sugar is bad. That's it.
It's bad. I know, it's so sad, but it's bad.
It is. So you can change dessert or a cake with fruits. What I do, Michelle, you mentioned blueberries, right?
Yeah.
What I do is that I buy the blueberries and I freeze them. Mm-hmm. And then I eat it like candy. Yeah. You know, and so there are options. Yeah. And I do the same with grapes. It works with blueberries and grapes. It doesn't work with strawberry. But, you know, that's a healthier way to do it. Processed food. I mean, if you can, I'm not saying stay away at all.
Right.
But limit pasta, limit white rice, limit potatoes, all that starch. Because it's not that good for you.
Yeah.
And it's too much glucose in your body. And when you have high glucose, your body, your pancreas, oh, there's too much glucose. I need to produce insulin. And then if you keep eating sugar and sugar, the insulin is going up. And then you get insulin resistance. And your body cannot process that. And you get diabetes or pre-diabetics or, you know, all that. And when you have high insulin, your body doesn't work that well. Cortisol levels goes up. If you do that, it's harder to lose weight. You're stressed. I mean, so many things are going on just because you're eating too much sugar, right?
Yep.
So I recommend that. And there is a concept when I study at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, they said, I love this concept because it was crowding in.
Crowding in.
Right. So instead of saying, okay, I'm not going to eat this, I'm not going to eat that. And I do recommend that if you want to change one habit, just like Atomic Habits said, just do it one at a time. Don't try to lose weight, exercise, run a business all at the same time. Because it's easier when you change one habit and you know that you can, your self-esteem goes up. Dopamine is there and you're like, okay, so if I could change one, I can change another one. So crowding in is instead of like taking out food, all this food that we mentioned, bring in nutrient dense food. Because the more that you include fruits, vegetables, or all that, the more that you get in, your body is going to crave less sugar. So that's something that works.
I've got my go-to salmon and sweet potatoes, right?
Okay.
But sweet potatoes, oh my gosh, I can tell you how to make sweet potatoes 15 ways. It's kind of one of my superfoods. I was watching one of your videos and you talked about three superfoods because salmon we both share.
Yeah.
And then you had kale on there, I believe it was, right? And I do greens. And then you had mixed berries on there, too. I saw you had blackberries and strawberries. See, I did a little homework.
And I
felt kind of good because I have those things. And so I would leave listeners with this, too, though, because you're right. I have girls. And so I didn't, and we've got a big family. And I was like, when I first, you know, I basically went on a mission years ago, but I said, I'm just going to give up sugar. I'm just going to do it. And it wasn't really that difficult, but it was very difficult for everyone around me, I realized. And so I didn't make it difficult for anyone around me, but they just felt it, right? Yeah. And I'm like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And people did, though, within our family, they came up with creative things like berries. Mm-hmm. I would have berries. Everyone's eating, you know, creme brulee. I'm eating berries. Mm-hmm. It was good. But I do find, so I will have, you know, the fudge cake or the dark chocolate cake or a few things like that a few times a year, you know, to enjoy that with my family. So I'm, you know, they know that they can have some level of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find this other thing that when I said no to my children, like, no, well, that's when they start. So I'm going to tell every parent out there too, like, that's when they start hoarding and hiding. Mm-hmm. So I was finding things in their room. I'm like, oh, my God, I have to buy Oreos. And if I do, then they're not going to eat a box at midnight under their bed, right? But I just had to let some things in because that's the world we live in. So it's kind of that balance, and I just do my best to just, you know, live the example and guide them the right way and give them the alternatives. But I will kind of indulge with them just for fun sometimes. You know, it's really funny, though, a big secret. once you give that stuff up, you don't really miss it.
I was going to ask you that. Like,
it's too sweet.
I don't really crave sugar anymore. Just because of all these other options that I have. Yeah. And usually it's funny because you mentioned the creme brulee and you're eating berries.
Yeah.
And sometimes the dessert, they come with a little fruit on the side. So I'm eating the fruit and everybody else is like spooning the creme brulee. So, and this is crowding in. So the more nutrient-dense food that you put in your body, the less you're going to crave that. So for me, like almost every dessert is too sweet.
It becomes too sweet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that would be my thing that I would encourage people on. And I do love a good dark chocolate. I will. Yeah. And I'll have like a square with a hot herbal tea at night.
Yeah, that's
good. I also, there's a popcorn that I like that's, there's this guy, Bobby Flav City, FLAV City, and he's got a YouTube channel. But he goes to all these different places and he rates the different food. Well, they have a popcorn at Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm. It's an extra virgin olive oil. And then I didn't know that Trader Joe's, when they make things like popcorn, they use heritage, so non-GMO corn.
Okay, okay.
And I'm like, okay. So I will have that. And then I'll take and just crumble up, like I'll take a square or two. Now I'm telling this weird story about me. And I'll put the dark chocolate in it.
That's good. I do the banana pancakes. So I do bananas, like very ripe bananas.
Yep.
I do oat and eggs, and I do the pancakes. And if they're not that sweet, but if you really get the ripe bananas, it's going to be sweeter, right?
Yep.
And that's it. And sometimes, you know, if I want to, like I really want something sweet, I take the banana, I put some almonds, and then a little bit of maple syrup.
That sounds really good.
And I'm like, it's perfect. Like, you know, I think I do the 80-20.
Yep.
You know, 80% I eat at home. I really love and enjoy cooking.
I know. I like being at home too. Yeah.
So every time I go out, it's like, But then, you know, when I go out, I see the menu.
Yeah.
Beforehand, and I always choose a healthy option. So, like the other time, on Saturday, my brother, he graduated from his second master. We really like to study in this family. And so I went with them to the graduation ceremony.
Yep.
And then we went to a restaurant. And the restaurant had like so many options, right? And then I'm like, I feel like I want a salad. And everybody's like, that's so boring. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, my body is craving a salad.
Yeah.
Because I think because it's cold, I haven't been eating salad at home, but everything is cooked because I wanted, you know, I want the warmth.
Right.
But that day, I really wanted a salad. So I had a Caesar salad with no croutons and chicken. So I don't know. Maybe I'm boring. Yeah. I do wine, though. Like, I really love my glass of wine.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
So, and that's where I talk about, like, we still live on this earth. And we still have to live. So let's talk about alcohol, you know, because
I don't want to.
There's this whole thing. I heard something once. Now, the good and bad news for me, about 6 years ago, I love a good glass of red wine. Mm-hmm. It started hating me. Just no matter what, it burns my stomach. The tannins and all this are apparently bothering me. So I'll drink white. The reality is I was... about maybe 6 years ago, I was introduced to the gin and tonic concept. I never drank
with the cucumber or something.
Well, my sister, this is funny. I was stressful, right? I was flying from Chicago out to my sister's home in LA, and my other sister was going to be there. I had like 2 days to visit them. Something got all messed up with my flights. Actually, I was speaking in Vegas. That's what it was. So it was a Vegas trip, and it was packed and crowded, and my flight got canceled, and then I'm having to get on another flight. I got there like around midnight. I was supposed to get in at maybe 4 p.m. So she shows up at the airport, and she said, it's okay, honey. I was frazzled, anxious, right? I only have 2 days to see my sister now. One night is gone. And she brings this nice cold drink to me and said, here you go, honey. And I'm like, oh, this is good. What is it? And she's just keep drinking it. I'm like, this is really good. Well, that's when I knew how much I love gin. And it doesn't bother me. Like, it doesn't upset my stomach. I don't get sick. I don't get drunk. I like to be in control of my feelings. I don't get anything. But anyway, so I can't drink red wine. I love good white wine. Gin, I only allow myself maybe once a year around the holidays. I'll have a couple, like yes, a nice it's French gin martini. And tonic time. I like a good French martini. It's got Chambord gin, little raspberry, you know, it's very good. But anyway, tell me about what you know and what you believe. You know,
after alcohol is a toxin, right? You know, like if you have red wine, it has resveratrol, which is an antioxidant, and polyphenols. So it, but still, it's a toxin. So when I went to Dr. Daniel Aim in university, the things that he mentioned is alcohol. And Dr. Daniel Amen, he has been taking pictures of the brain for more than 30 years.
Okay.
And so he does like two different kind of image, right? And so he, when he compares a healthy brain with a person that does marijuana and a person that drinks alcohol, the difference in the brain is like the brain with alcohol, marijuana, and all that holds. And then the healthy brain is different. So, I mean, there's a lot of research about that. But in the other part, like if you, I don't know if you know about the mind diet plan, which is the brain diet plan, which is like a combination with the DASH, the dietary approach to stop hypertension with the Mediterranean diet.
Okay.
So that's what they do for brain health. Or that's what they recommend. And it allows, you know, that glass of wine.
Oh, that's nice. It allows the glass of wine.
Yeah, so I'm going with that and not Dr. Edigno.
Well, you know, so I owned an Italian business for almost 15 years. Oh. And, yeah, we always had the nice wine with the meal. And they're pretty healthy people. They appear to be.
Yeah, and then, you know, that, I mean, we mentioned the Blue Zones before. Yeah. And Dan Buettner was the one who came up with the concept of the Blue Zones.
Yep.
And he wrote a book, and he has a very good Netflix series about this, and it's called like Living to 100.
Okay.
And I mean, these people, they of course they exercise a lot. They're eating 80% plant-based. They have like a strong community. And sometimes, I mean, he's big in, you know, the glass of wine here and there, right? I mean, maybe the bottle. Not so much, but, you know, I'm still working on that.
Just go easy on it.
Yes.
All right. Now, I do want to talk about community, and I'm going to tell you why, because I feel like women, professional women, I'm around them every day. They spend very little time with other women because they feel like it's all they can do to just get their job done and then pay attention to their family or whatever that might look like. And I read something once, and I was trying to remember whether it was in Peter Attia's book or Dr. Sinclair's book, David Sinclair. But they had talked about this cardiologist, and it was somewhere in the Northeast, and I want to say it was someplace out in Pennsylvania, that they had looked at these people, and there was they were studying people's cardiac health. And there was this one town, and I believe it was out in Pennsylvania, but it was an Italian community, as it turned out to be. And they had no cardiac disease, no, like zero. And they studied and were trying to figure out why. And what they discovered in this neighborhood is that people sat out on their stoops at night and talked to other people. That people walked around, like you'll see, I used to see that in the squares of Italy, people talking and sitting on park benches and communicating with each other. And I got to tell you, like when I am with my women friends or any friend, I get so much out of that. And yet I feel like we as women, we don't spend enough time doing it. And let's talk about the importance. So it's not just a luxury to spend time in community with other people, but it's really something that's necessary. And I'll tell you, the reason that I met you is because I had, years ago, I belonged to the Executive Women of Goizetta. So you and I both went to Emory University. And so when I had my children, I was like, I don't have time for this anymore. Like, and I stepped away. And I very recently, it was about a year ago, I stepped back in So I was looking and I'm checking out the women. That is why I contacted you. But I have been so enriched since reconnecting with the women of Guazetta, of Emory University. Mm-hmm. And I can't say enough about it. And it's not about business connections and, you know, getting leads for my business. It's not that at all. It's about connecting with others. And let's talk about the importance of that on health and why women should look at that as a priority.
Yeah. There's one study that says that when women are around women and children or children, your body releases oxytocin.
So oxytocin,
it's beautiful. Oxytocin is a chemical that your body produces, and it helps you relax, calm down. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if we, like, how do you feel when I'm with my friends?
Right.
It's like we laugh a lot. We let go. Like, I don't know. Like, so many things happen. But it's study through study, you know, when they talk about isolation, it increases the risk of dementia, of Alzheimer.
Yep.
So if we want to avoid these things, I get a group of women, do a book club. I have my business partner. She's Valeria. She's a menopause coach. Yep. And we record a podcast every single week. But she's my coach and I'm her coach, right? Mm-hmm. And every time we're together and we talked, I mean, it feels like our problems disappear. So she comes. Because sometimes she's stressed, right? And I know her, and I know she's stressed. I'm like, Valeria, what's going on? Like, if she's like, I cannot record a podcast right now, I'm like, Valeria, what's going on? And when she starts talking, it's not about the podcast. It's about dealing with other stuff in her life.
Right.
And the same thing happened to me. I'm like, oh, I'm so sad. What's going on? Well, and then I keep talking, and it's like, things disappear and not disappear, but you, like, when you talk about your feelings, and we women are very good at it, talking about our feelings, or, you know, I'm a very vulnerable person, and I open up in the sense that, you know, if I feel this way, and I don't have to tell it to everybody, but for me, women friends have been one of my pillars in life.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, 3 years ago when I came back here, I mean, one day I had a husband, I had two stepsons, I had two dogs, I had a Harley Davidson motorcycle, which I rode in Colombia. I had a house that we built together with a pool. And then the other day I didn't have anything. Mm. And I came here heartbroken. It was a very tough situation. Mm. It was an adversity that, I mean, I didn't see it coming. And I would go and I would be with my friends, and they kept me together. And I would just go into her lab and cry and cry and cry. And of course, they're like, oh, we're going to kill him. And I'm like, no, you don't have to kill him. But they were very supportive. And just the fact that they let me cry and they talked to me and they were open to it, it's just... I'm not saying that that's the only thing that helped me. However, wow, it was therapy, you know, for me. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it is very important. And study through study, like, you know, isolation is not good. Community helps you in your journey to health. So, yes, it is important. And things that you can do, I mean, there's so many things. Like, I'm part of the board of the Latinx alumni at Emory, so
excellent.
I'm all the time in, you know, doing networking, but at least with my friends, I see them every week. We're all busy, you know, some have kids, husband, but then we have like a, like, if I tell them, like, I really need to see you, they're like, okay, so I'm gonna open up some space. And I don't know, like, we drink wine, we cook together, we dance.
Oh, how fun.
And we just did last week at a friend's house. We did a greedy Santa, right?
Yep.
It's like, I don't know. We feel so good when we're around women. So I do recommend that. If you want to be healthy, get a group together and do things together with women, because you're going to be, you know, amazing.
Just make it a priority, because, yes. And I still struggle with it. So you're talking about, you're working on your wine thing, I'm working on my friend thing, mm-hmm. right? So just making and having the time to do that. And I got to tell you, I get so much out of it. I get so much out of it.
Yeah. And you can, I don't know, like ever since when I came back here 3 years ago, I had my condo and I never sold it, right? And so I came back to the same place.
Yeah.
But I met new people at the pool during the summer.
Yeah.
So we walk together, right? That's something that we do. Sometimes it's like, oh, it's Saturday, you know, I'm making something to eat. Do you want to come? So we make it a habit to be together and to do things together. And I love it because Le Simone, she's one of my friends. She loves to exercise as well.
Yeah.
So it's not only because the other one is like, do you want to go to the Saint Germain Hotel? Yeah. And I'm like, no, yeah. I don't want to go out. But if you tell me, like, my best date is exercise. So if yeah. you tell me, let's go to the trail and let's exercise, I'm like, yes. Yes,
yeah,
let's
that's
do it.
So much fun for me too. Yeah. So when you're coaching and working with women, mm-hmm. is there one thing or maybe the top three challenges that you seem to hear about or see about? What do you think are some of women's challenges that you help them with that seem to be recurring that, you know, maybe they're not even aware of when they come to see you?
Look, lots of them, they want to change nutrition. They want to be healthy. But they think wellness is about eating right and exercise.
Okay.
So when we start talking about mindset, about self-love, then it's like the discovery, right?
Wow.
And I was the same. I was that person maybe 7 years ago. And then I started working with a coach in Colombia, Santiago. And before, like, I got certified in one of his programs because I was going to start teaching.
Yeah.
And when I saw all the insight in the mindset and mindfulness, and I was like mesmerized. And then I understood how important everything else is. And sometimes, remember, like everything starts with a thought. If I can change my thoughts, I can change my life. And if I can change all this talk, because we always have like this crazy women talking to us, right? Mm-hmm. You're not good enough. You are not making money. You cannot do this business. Nobody loves you, whatever it is. We have somebody telling us that kind of things all the time. And so when you start realizing all your thoughts and you can change it, you take better care of yourself as well. So what I've seen is when you change your mindset, when you practice meditation, when you practice gratitude, you start changing other things in your life.
Wow.
So this is beautiful because they start eating better, right? They start exercising more.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Because they change their mindset.
Yeah. So they're coming to you because they want to change how they are eating or exercise. Mm-hmm. They're thinking about, I want to be in better physical health. But then you start getting into your mind, mindset, and mental health, and then the other just comes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. And now I'm working on a new program for what I've seen, Michelle, is that when we get to an age, like after 40, we start seeing some changes in our life. Maybe our kids are leaving because they're older, so we're empty nester. Or maybe we're getting divorced because the time to, apparently the time to get divorced is like in your 40s and 50s. You don't get divorced when you're 20, right? or getting through menopause that we were talking before. Yep. There's so many changes going on. So I'm guiding them through this GRACE method or the GRACE blueprint, which the G for gratitude, R for resilience and mental health and all that. And each of them is a different thing that we take into account to transition these life changes, which like they could be hard. And I think I realized that, I mean, I've always been a healthy person as I can see it, right? But I mean, I lost a job when I first graduated from Emory because they realized I didn't have the visa, the paperwork, but I was getting that and they took the job away.
Wow.
And I mean, I owned a lot of money, you know, that I needed to pay and it was tough. And I social distanced myself from everybody. It wasn't even pandemic, Michelle, but I social distanced myself because every time I would talk to somebody, it's like, did you find a job yet? Did you find a job yet? Like, I didn't want to answer the question because the answer was, no, I haven't. Like, you knew if I had. Like, I don't know, right. See LinkedIn, whatever.
Right.
So it was very tough on me. And, you know, when I had these headaches that I mentioned to you before, it was because I wasn't dealing with my emotions the right way. Yeah. So every time something happened in my life, some like life changing, and the last one, the divorce 3 years ago, it was very challenging. But I realized that every time I overcame that adversity, and then I started asking, like, how did I do that? Oh, well, you know, I always exercise. So I remember, you know, as soon as I got separated from my husband, I was in our country house and he was in the city. And I was with the dogs and I would wake up and, of course, I was lonely. I cried and everything, but every day at 7:30, I was exercising. Huh. And every day when I woke up, I was meditating. Yeah. And then I cried a little bit more, and then I didn't eat, and then I did too much, like whatever.
Yeah.
I let myself felt all the feelings because I knew that when you want to overcome something, you have to accept it.
Right.
And it's tough, and I was sad, but I accepted it. So mm-hmm. I realized that, you know, accepting your emotions, changing your mindset, right? Yeah. And always, instead of asking myself, why did this happen to me? Mm-hmm. I started asking, what for? Because if I see my past every time, it has been for the better, right?
Yeah.
And I remember in 2022, like after a year that I came, mm-hmm. I was doing a program in the Latin American Association for Entrepreneur Women, right?
Okay.
And I just went there because I wanted the connections. And what I found myself with was a community of amazing women. Wow. I mean, I thought I knew everything because, you know, I had a big job and I had a master from Emory. I didn't know shit. Like, I didn't know anything. So when I went there, you know, thinking that I wanted the connections in the Latin American Association, one of the girls who was part of the program, I'm introducing my company and everything, and she's like, you're a natural salesperson, something like that, she said, because I started with a story instead of saying,
right,
my business is Janita Puy. No, I started with a story. And next day, she introduced me to some women from the National Council of Negro Women. They were looking for a Hispanic to do a wellness talk to the people in Gwinnett County, the jail.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Gwinnett Jail.
Okay.
So we did it online, and they were like, they said they wanted the talk in Spanish, mm-hmm. but then, well, we don't know how many people speak Spanish, how many people speak English. The ones that speak English don't speak Spanish. I'm like, well, okay, like I didn't sign up for this. And then I started doing the presentation, English, Spanish, Spanish, English. I was like Sofia Vergara, like in all the sense, right? And they were asking me questions in English. I would answer in English and then I would say it in Spanish. It was beautiful. It was like,
it's great.
I don't know, like a God, the universe.
Yes.
I was there for a reason. And when I finished the call, I started crying, Michelle. And that's when I realized that everything that happened to me needed to happen in order for me to guide people through a better life. Wow. And in that moment, I'm like, I thank my ex-husband, right? Mm. Because if he hadn't made the decision, I wouldn't be here guiding so many people. This week I'm launching my episode 100. And for my podcast,
congratulations.
And we're inspiring women to have a better life, to make the changes, to being or knowing that they're capable of changing their lives. And I'm part of it.
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, life is amazing.
Wow.
I don't know. I got emotional.
No, I think that's great. So we had talked about, and I think that plays into your big wheel moment. You know, I like to talk about that. And you had discussed the hardship, how hard it was emotionally when you did get a divorce. And, you know, a lot of people don't even talk about these things. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the fact that you even are, because women need to hear our stories, I think. And how you took that and then looked at it and said, okay, why did that happen? Like, what can that do for me? And there's someone, a woman in my life who I just really love. She was a client who I convinced to come work with us here. Okay. But she said to me once a really long time ago, look, everybody falls down and everybody fails. That isn't even what matters. What matters is, what do we do when we get back up?
Right.
You know, what do we do and what do we do with that? And I had another wise person, Brazilian. So I have a really good friend who's Brazilian. And by the way, so you're Venezuelan. Mm-hmm. And I will say something about, in my opinion, the Hispanic community, women. You have a gift of, like, really loving each other and life and spending time together. Mm-hmm. And I'm fortunate and blessed that I have a next-door neighbor who's Brazilian who welcomed me into her community. Because, you know, I find that, I don't know if it's Americans, if we're too stiff, if we're too whatever. But, you know, we want to be, right? I consider myself fun-loving, but yet I don't make the time to do those things that are, like, so important. And I see how joyful everyone is through adversity. Mm-hmm. And then everybody just comes together. Yeah. So did you ever read a book called The Red Tent?
I didn't.
It's a wonderful book. Okay. So it's back... it's like in first, I think it's the Old Testament days is when this all happened. But the red tent is where women who are at their menses, they actually would all come together, right? And it's interesting because they talk about when women live together, their cycles come together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's how it was with me and my girls. It was like, are you kidding me? We were all at the same time, which was not really
well, that's good because every time it's like, do you have a tampon? Of course I do. Yes.
I know. Always. Oh, God. Oh, I got a funny tampon story that I don't know if I should tell it or not. I got a really good one. But anyway, Parker, maybe I'll talk about it and you can decide whether to cut it or not. But anyway, it is interesting. But basically, during this time, these women would come together, right? And they would talk and spend time together and cook with each other and dance and just be there. And I do find that certain cultures do a much better job of that than you know, our, and I love where I live. I love who I am. But I learn, and I think part of the richness of who we are is that we are diverse. Yeah. And, you know, learning from each other, I think. So I think it's something that you bring to the world, you know, that I think is beautiful.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, of course, of course. So I want to just ask you another question as we are starting to wrap up, which would be, you know, when women are looking for healthcare, right? Like, how do you find a good doctor? How do you find a good gynecologist if you're going through menopause and you don't really have good guidance there? Because I've certainly been through poor guidance. And I was very fortunate to have a wonderful primary care physician who just retired, by the way. Imagine this. I was so fortunate to have the same doctor for over 30 years.
And all
I was in my 20s, like young 20s, and like just out of school, and I had this doctor, and he retired this year.
Okay.
This year he's retiring. But he, primary care, you know, Emory trained, but yet knew that I'm more integrative and holistic. And so he would give me that type of advice. Mm-hmm. In fact, the reason I prioritize sleep is because I went in his office one day after our physical and he said, I'm giving you a prescription. I'm like, this is weird because I take nothing. Mm-hmm. And it was a book called Why We Sleep. Mm-hmm. And he said, that's your thing. You got to read that this year. He also, when I went through, I had went through a period of panic attacks, and it was really difficult. I felt like I was having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. The first one I had, an ambulance actually took me out of the house. We really thought I was having a heart attack, and it was a panic attack. They're really dreadful. But anyway, when that all happened, he said to me, are you exercising still? Mm-hmm. Like, and I had a business going. I had all this stuff going, and I had not prioritized that. And he said, get yourself back to the gym. Mm-hmm. Get yourself back on the trail. And then he showed me how to breathe. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and we're going to talk through these other things. And if you have a panic attack, and I had a buddy to call. It was my sister who was prone to them for a period of time. He said, if it's midnight, 1 o'clock, just call someone and talk about it and have your herbal tea because you don't want anything. He said, and remind yourself and remember, you're not having a heart attack, Michelle. It's just, it happens to be, you know, this. So I was lucky to have someone who worked with me. But Janita, most people, I think a lot of people just don't. And they don't have a good doctor for them as a female. So how do you work with your clients or how do you give people advice around selecting, you know, healthcare provider?
Look, when I was in Colombia, I lived there for 12 years. I had the angel therapist. I had a person who did this program where he was a psychologist, but when he saw me, I'm like, I'm depressed. You're not depressed. Do this. So I started eating just vegetarian, like no coffee, no anything. And he would put maybe some like IV, but like minerals, like vitamin C and all that. So I did so many things while I was in Colombia. But like here, I don't have, you know, any chiropractors or anything. Right. But, you know, like if I need it for sure, I will go because I do believe in that.
Yeah.
However, I right now I have lots of knowledge and I love to learn new things, right? So I do have my menopause coach she's my business partner. It's like every time I have palpitations. Yeah, that's menopause. I have this. What do I do with my belly? So she's all the time, you know, telling me what to do. Gosh. However, I would say something. I don't know if you ever read Life Force from Tony Robbins. It's one of his latest book, and he wrote it with two other, with physicians, right? So he talks in Life Force, he talks a lot about, you know, like technology and all the things that are going on. However, he said something that it really stuck with me. I mean, I love the phrase, which I always do. However, he said something like, you need to behave like the CEO of your own health. Mm. And start making informed decisions that have a positive effect on your health. So this is what I do. Like I don't listen to music anymore. I listen to podcasts. I listen to books. So sometimes, you know, if I want to do that, so I go to my trampoline and I listen to the podcast, or I put a YouTube video and I listen to, I don't know, like The School of Greatness, Lewis House, The Mindset Mentor, On Purpose with Jay Shetty. Yep. So I'm huge on getting informed.
Yeah.
And this is what when I talk to women, you know, and when I coach them, like, you are the one, I mean, you are in your body. Nobody's going to know why you're feeling the same way. So ask yourself questions. Why do I feel this way? Remember, you know, the quality of your life depends on the quality of questions that you ask. Why am I getting these headaches? I mean, you know, write it in a food journal. What you're eating. What mood do I have every time I eat? Because you know more than your doctor, right? Yeah. So I go for my annual exam. Right. I have he's from Dominican Republic doctor, which is, I mean, for me, you know, it's better to speak Spanish, I guess, or I feel like I'm at home. And then my gynecologist, he's from Puerto Rico. But I remember, and this is the power that you have, right? Yep. Western medicine, you go there, it's like, okay, this is okay. I'm like, okay, cholesterol is high, you need to do more exercise. Like the nurse, dude, I exercise every single day. Right. I move every, this is not it, right? And I remember going there, one of the first time that I went there, I came back from Colombia, of course I was sad, and he's like, hold on, since you got divorced, I'm like, 6 months, and I'm crying with him. And he's like, well, maybe, you know, maybe you should take some Xanax or something. I'm like, what? I'm like, no. But I mean, it's not him. It's how they studied, because they don't teach you this. They don't teach you this part. So I'm like, no, hell no. I mean, I just got divorced, of course I'm feeling sad, right? I'm dealing with it. Right. Like, I went to a psychoanalyst because I do believe in the power of talking as well.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I remember one other time, I had different symptoms. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, I had different symptoms. And he's like, well, yeah, he wanted to leave. And I'm like, no, sit down. And we talked for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, I have this, I feel that, whatever I was feeling at that point. But usually when I talk about my symptoms, they go away. It's magical. So, I mean, I do recommend talking about your symptoms. So what I wanted to say is that you have the power of your health, mm-hmm. right? So yep. if you have the regular doctor, that's perfect. You need the annual, your mammogram, if you're over 40 or 50, whatever it is. However, listen to your body because yes. your body is yep. is telling you something. Mm-hmm. When I had this terrible migraine, it was telling me that I was not dealing with my emotions. Mm-hmm. When I social distanced myself, you know, it was because I was going through a hard time. So every time my body is telling me something,
yep.
ask your body, yeah, why do I feel this way? Like, I've, for example, with food, I've always been able to eat everything. Mm-hmm. But the last three times that I have... coconut milk okay. in my food that I make, like, you know, like Thai food.
Right.
I go to the restroom like right away. So of course, you know, there's something going on that my body's rejecting the coconut milk. And, you know, maybe I won't have it anymore or maybe I will. Yeah. But it's your body giving you signs. So every time you have a pain, you have something, sometimes it's caused by emotions by thoughts. So deal with that. Listen to your body. And, you know, always, if you can get a coach, a therapist, a herbalist. I mean, yep. I love all that. And I really enjoy, you know, going the extra mile. But I do feel like I'm a very healthy person and that, I don't know, maybe sometimes I do need it, sometimes I don't. But yep. I'm not saying I'm my own doctor. Mm-hmm. However, right. I listen yeah. to what my body is saying, and I play. So,
you know, I think that that's probably one of the most powerful things people can take away. We are in charge of mm-hmm. and responsible for our own health care, mm-hmm. and I think no one knows you like yourself. Yeah. And you know, I'll bring up case in point. So, my mother had what ended up being rheumatoid arthritis, mm-hmm. and it was during that early part of 2020. And she was told she had carpal tunnel, and then she was told she had something else, and they were going to do some surgery on her, which all got put on hold because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And she just kept swelling up. Mm-hmm. So this was, I mean, like swelling up. And I brought her to the ER three separate occasions, Janita. I mean, like, I couldn't believe that the last time I brought her, and they sent me home. Her legs were like huge and she was shuffling. Now, this is a woman who drives, goes to the dog park, very active. Mm-hmm. And he said, look, if she's not any better, bring her back Monday. I said, she's not going to make it till Monday. She ended up being taken out of the house in a hospital. She woke up and couldn't move on a Saturday. She had an immune response to rheumatoid arthritis. Mm-hmm. It took them almost a week to diagnose it. Now, in the meantime, she's on so many medicines, and they're giving her more. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't. And she left the hospital like that. It continued for a year like that. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until, I'm like, Mom, you're just not acting right. So it was a timeout of she and I taking over her medicine mm-hmm. management, mm-hmm. going to the doctors, explaining what was happening, saying, take her off this. Let's try that. We actually had to take it into our own hands. Mm-hmm. And she is feeling much better. You know, she's feeling much better, but I think that it's good to have a doctor, but listen to your own body. Yeah. I'm with yeah. you on that one.
Yeah, and just remember, like 90% of what's going on with you, maybe it's a stress issue, maybe it's a mental yep. issue, something else.
Yep.
And I do believe that our thoughts, our emotion can cause pain, you know, can yeah. cause disease. So if you work on your health as an integrative wellness and you work on your mental, on your social, everything that we've talked about today, right. Not only your physical part, it's not only about eating right. I think it was Elizabeth Lipsink, and she wrote in her book that the word diet, like we relate diet to, you know, that the way that we eat, but it's a way of living. So it's not about what we eat. It's about our thoughts, about your emotions, about the relationships that you have. Everything is related to wellness. And the thing about, you know, Western medicine is great. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're in a car accident, if we dislocate our shoulder, I mean, we need the Western medicine. But sometimes Western medicine, it takes your issues as one issue.
Right. And
sometimes they're related. So if I have hypertension, if I have high cholesterol, they take one pill for this, one pill for that. Mm-hmm. And again, sometimes they don't go to the root cause. Why is this happening to me?
Instead of treating the symptom.
Right. Maybe I'm not exercising. Yeah. Maybe I'm not eating right. Maybe, you know, I'm stressed. So my cortisol level is all the way up and my, I don't know, immune system goes down. So sometimes because we don't manage the environment and our lifestyle, that can cause disease. And you, holistic medicine, it takes you as a whole, because we're whole. You know, we're a whole human being, so everything is related. And when you start looking at your life and your health like that, I think, you know, your chance of success is better than, okay, I have a pain on my, you know, so I don't know. That's my two cents.
Oh, no, I think it's great. And I think that so the biggest takeaway really is around your mental health and making sure that we do pay attention to that as part of integrative. Mm-hmm. So, Janitha, how can people get a hold of you?
They can follow me at Janitha Boy. That's my handle. And usually everything I do, a lot of it's Spanish, but I do English. You know, if you listen to me.
Yep.
You know, my English is kind of good, so I went to school here.
Excellent. So you're perfect. You're so much fun. Yeah.
So I do coaching 101. Okay. I do group coaching. This year we launched twice a coaching group program with my business partner.
Oh, how fun.
And it was beautiful, Michelle. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. We did it online and lots of crying, which I love, because when you cry, you're opening up for change, right?
Yes.
And it was amazing. It was an 8-week program. So we're launching again next year.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes. And, you know, you can see me on YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm very good at LinkedIn as well. So, and I would love to work with women that are transitioning, because I have the perfect blueprint that has helped me to overcome 2 divorces, losing a job, changing careers, not dealing with my emotions.
Right.
And I do believe, like, all of us can go through anything. And sometimes, you know, after I deal with my divorce, I said, oh, I'm ready for the next adversity. And then I'm like, no, because I don't want to, like, I mean, I'm ready because
don't
I have all the tools,
but
I don't
want to
call it. No, because every time I call for something, it happens, right? So, no, I'm not calling for another adversity.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that I have the tools, and it's simple, and you can too. And if you're listening or watching us, if you want to work with me, I would more than happy to see if we're a good fit, you know.
Well, Janitha, thank you so much for everything that you do. Thank you for coming on to Riding the Big Wheel, and I hope to have you back.
I hope you have me back for some exercise. Thank you so much for having me, and really, you know, what you're doing and putting together this podcast. I know it's challenging sometimes, but you're making a difference in the world. So
thank you.
Keep doing that.
Thanks. Hey, it's Michelle. Thank you so much for listening today. If you enjoy our podcast and know someone who you believe would make a great guest, I would love to hear from you. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's talk. I'd love to hear your feedback. And as always, may it inspire you in your own personal and professional journey of life.